This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Runs for him to find them, you will see another level of Casper. So he's good, but I think he'd be better in a better team.
Yeah, and that was the argument Stephen gave me in the car. And I don't dispute it, but I just don't, I've not seen enough for me to go, he's a well-beater. That's my point.
Like, you've seen enough of him. You go home and away
quite often. Yeah, I've seen enough of him to say that he's a good player. But my point is like, I don't see like the fuss where he's like going to be, like, I look at...
Like he's irreplaceable.
Yeah, correct. And that's why I don't think we've missed him the last couple of games, albeit we've changed the style of play and it's different kind of setup completely. But like, he came back in under Edwards towards the end and then we didn't get the better results that Edwards was hoping for. I'm not saying it falls just on Denore for that reason, but like, we didn't have... I feel like even the results we got, I'm pretty sure over the Christmas period, was he injured at the Christmas period when we won the three games back-to-back? I think he might have been, right?
He was injured, yes.
Yeah, so technically, under Edwards, and listen, I'm not disputing again, Denore's a good player, but under Edwards, we won one game with him playing and we won three others without him playing.
Andrew Roberts, same as you. I'm with you, Omar. Denor isn't all that. No goals for him at all this season.
I don't think goals are his game either, though.
Casper's played in the Champions League.
Yeah, okay, but what?
He's playing the Euros
too slow.
No. That's my thing with him. I don't think he's got a lot of pace, but he doesn't need the pace.
I wouldn't call him slow.
But I don't think he doesn't get a game in any of the Premier League sides. And just, I feel like the hype that's behind him is like where he's like... He's like up here. He's up there, but he's not like miles away in the sky.
He's
like,
not. But is he a deserve of a starting place? I think that's the question that everyone's thinking and asking at the moment. Because you know, you look at Mitchell and Saville done all right in the first couple of games. I personally thought Saville had a bad game against Blackburn, and Mitchell did okay. That, you know, for all his effort running around, but. You know, surely a game at home against Birmingham tomorrow, you start Casper, right?
And I probably would. I just wanted to stress that I don't think he's a bad player. I've not seen the hype that everyone's giving about Denor. That's my point. And like I said, under the Redwoods, we only won one game with him in there, and he's like meant to be the saviour. I don't know. I think he's a good player, but also it's like you look at some players and go, are they going to do it with us? And we're talking about the style of play and stuff like that. He probably would do it elsewhere in the Championship, and I wouldn't dispute that. But I don't know. I don't think Mitchell's better than Casper Denor, just to put that out there. Two different players.
What about Saville?
Again, two different players. But am I happy with the fact that I've got currently Saville and Mitchell in the middle because we're in the battle of survival? Yeah, I am.
I think, Homer, sorry to interrupt you there. I just think that Mitchell is better than Casper off the ball. Mm-hmm. And Casper is better than Mitchell on the ball. The trouble is, where we're playing at the moment, we're giving up a lot of possession. If you only got 20%, 30% possession in the game, you want to utilise Mitchell more if you're not got 70% of the possession. And you want someone who's going to do all the tackling, all the interceptions, all the hard work. And that's the only reason why I feel Casper's not picked to play. But you can't deny he is a quality player. Technically, probably our best midfielders, I would say.
Well, I've redone the poll because people didn't look good or poor. So I've put good or average. So you can get involved in that one on Casper.
Joe's taking offence to you, by the way.
Joe in the chat.
I'm not slandered him.
He's saying the Casper slander is laughable. But to be fair, Joe in the chat could be drunk because he's also said this.
I love Connor.
It wasn't Joe. I'll take you back from Joe.
Connor, are you talking about Joe, me Joe, or the other Joe? This is very, very important information.
Who would you like? Okay, here's one for you. Donore, right? Who would you compare him to for a Millwall player in the last 20 years? If you compared him to any previous midfielder played for us, there's a question to the chat as well. But what role does Donore play in comparison to any previous midfielder? The closest comparison I can get is Liam Trotter in that sense, right? Where Trotter likes to get on the ball and play forward. And it's slightly completely different types of players.
More goals, didn't he?
Because Trotter was 6'4" or 6'3", a bit taller. But compare like players.
I don't think we've had a player like Casper. I'm not saying as good as Casper, but I don't think we had that kind of player in our team, which probably makes it, that quality probably stands out. Liam Trotter was very good as an offensive attacking midfielder. He scored a lot of goals for us at the time. You could argue that Tim Cahill did it before him as well, but we haven't really had many midfielders that will contribute in scoring goals. I can't think of any. Yeah, if anything, they've all been starves of technical ability. You look at the likes of Livermore, Jimmy Abdu, and players like that. They've all worked their nuts off, but again, they're not really ball players. And I would say Casper is a ball player.
I'm not disputing Casper as a player, but I just don't see the hype beyond belief that everyone's raving about him.
Alex's comment, Mickey, I'll
come back to it in a sec. But there, trouble is, Omar, a lot of other clubs in this league have a number of midfielders who weighed in with a number of goals. No goals from Donore or Mitchell this season. Was there a goal from Mitchell last season? He don't score many, though, does he? I don't think there was a goal from him.
I think he scored one in the League Cup for us, didn't he? Like in his first season, I think it was, from memory.
And we'll also go on there. Casper isn't a player you'd take to war with you. Of course. And that's what Harris needs at the moment.
Yeah. Donore, even though I think he did in his first game go through someone, though. I remember, I think it might have been the Charlton friend. No, was it the one? There was a game he played where he went through someone, but he's not that kind of midfielder, is he, I suppose?
Someone's put Sean Williams.
Yeah, I mean, technically, he's a good player. I'll give him that. But I think Casper offers you a bit more movement. Like, he covers a lot of ground on the pitch. And I think Sean Williams was more of a kind of like holding player. Very good on the ball, great with a left foot. Obviously, they used to call him the one, didn't they? But
two different players. But do you think Fleming is better than Donore?
Oh, Ryan Wood's shout is unbelievable, by the way, compared him to Ryan Woods. I'm here for this. Listen.
People are saying Andy Roberts, Les Brierley, Brierley and Casper. Yeah. Donore could thread a ball through the eye of a needle. He scored 4-0 win over Bristol City. Scored in a 4-0 win over Bristol City.
Who did? Mitchell.
I think he's on about what to call it, isn't he?
I'll tell you. We'll have a look. Go on, keep going.
Oh, okay. I was going to have a look, but yeah. Ryan Woods, Daily Mill. Daily Mill's just here for the piss take. But yeah, Ryan Woods. George Saville never makes one decent pass against Blackburn. Donore is in a different league. 120-ish game for Billy and one goal. Omar on Red Bull mixed with Donore. Donore is a holding midfielder.
Going forward, though, personally,
never goes forward.
But Connor, that's not where he wants to play there. That's where he's told to play. So I get what you're saying, but he's been starved for that kind of license to kind of get forward. That's where he wants to play as a more attacking midfielder.
Allegedly, according to the Facebook comments, what Joe reads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so look, you're all saying, he's 87% say he's good, 13% of you say he's average, and that's only because Omar's
part of the 13%.
I've not even voted, so they haven't even voted. There you go.
Stop the vote. But yeah, at least we know now the votes work going forwards, which is a great thing. So, yeah.
But yeah, Blackburn was not a great show. It was not a great showing, but we got the point. I'm happy. Look. Let's keep going. Let's get another. Let's not lose on tomorrow. Let me go from there.
Whoever mentioned Ryan Woods, we never say that name like Saka. Like
Scalak.
Yeah. Scalak was actually a decent player for Brighton when they got promoted the season before.
He got the most assists in the league or something. Yeah, that was it at the time. Mm. But yeah, we'll see.
The problem is that going back to the Harris debate and all that, is that, yes, okay, fine, I think the decision's probably already been made here, but I don't necessarily think what there was a couple of comments what I'll come to there where I think it was the Joe, the listener, has, where are we? Bear with me. he come up with a comment. I think he come up with a comment. Where is it? Yeah, yeah. Under Harris, our recruitment, which is already a problem, becomes twice as difficult. Players don't want to play his style. The better technical footballers want a progressive style.
I agree, Joe.
And I think that's the problem is that if you look at, you know, look, I want him to do us a job and get us safe and stay up.
But, I'm happy to take this on, by the way. Oh, go on, keep going. I'm going to take this on.
But what, you're taking me on all that comment?
I'll take on you and the comment and Joe. Okay. I'll take everyone.
But the problem is...
The box is on a bit and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, but, okay. Right,
warm up.
Let's go. And the problem is this, right? Mm. When Harris left, we were dog shit. We were fucking... We were banging trouble. And yet...
But were we? Listen, but were we?
But he didn't have the budget.
It was October.
But he hasn't got the budget now. Don't take the budget out of it. We don't have the budget unless we sell Fleming and Denor, for instance, or unless someone out there is going to give us silly money for one of the other players. That's the only way we're going to move. We brought Edwards in for this new process of building up the youth,
but
and then he didn't get the results because the players weren't performing, or he didn't have that fear factor. What Harris has definitely got the fear factor because he scares the fucking shit out of me.
I agree with Harris and the leadership qualities, and that's my big fear about Harris anyway being back, which is great, and that's why we've seen the upturn in results, in my opinion. If I said to you we got relegated this season, but within 2 seasons we'd have a playoff final defeat and a playoff final win, get promoted, finish just outside the playoffs in the championship, followed by survival the year after, is that on record a good record for a manager in charge of them four seasons? The question to the chat, and then Joe as well. Is that not so? Harris's last reign is looked on, and there's a lot of people say this in some reason in a negative term. Like, he got us promoted back to the championship. Everyone's saying he went beat on. But listen, season. Can I finish my point? The season before, when we was finishing in towards the relegation zone, he lost George Savile after the first game of the season. We had to then sign Leonards. We signed Bradshaw, who are still around now. So we're talking about recruitment. There's still two big players that are around now that we all praise and think they're good players, right? We do. So recruitment was actually quite decent at the time, albeit into the season. I think Harris gets a lot of negativity for the style of football, but I think he had an idea of what he wanted to do with that team. And in that first game of the season, about the year before, we was 2-0 up against Middlesbrough and drew 2-2. Game after, we lose our best player from the season before in George Savile. My point is that season to stay up and then try and go again. He got it wrong that summer, I think. I'll say that. You know, Matt Smith, Mahoney, you know, Meredith went off the boil after doing so well the year before as well. There's things you can't legislate for in that team at the time. But I think he left because he felt he took as far as he could. But he wasn't pushed out the door. The fans were starting to turn a bit, but I don't think he deserved that at the time. I think he actually got us to a position where we were ready to then kick on with a new manager. And we did that with Rowett. And we almost did get, you know, outside chance of the playoffs that year. I think he gets a lot of this. I think Harris gets a lot of slack for something he didn't actually oversee. I don't know at what point. I don't know. I think he gets a lot of stick for something that I think he obviously knows what a middle player should be. He knows what a middle player is required to be at the club. And I think at the moment he's getting the results to keep us up. But I don't think he's done a bad job in his last job. And a lot of people
trouble
seem
with,
think
trouble
he
with
did.
Harris, though, Omar, I don't think we can evolve or move forward as a club with him in charge. He's doing a job for us at the moment, and I'm pretty sure he'll keep us up. But you've got to think about even Joe's comment about recruitment. If he was in charge this season, earlier season, would Tanganga and Obafemi come and join us because Harris is in charge? I guarantee they wouldn't. Would Casper De Noor come? Probably not. Would Fleming come? Probably not. So what I'm saying is, under Harris, we're always going to play direct football, give away possession, and not many players, good players, want to play in that way of football. They want to play football. So I get he's good, and he'll do good when we're in adversity and we're on the back foot, or we're trying to escape relegation, or we're fighting for our lives, or try to get from League One to the Championship. But once we're in the Championship, the next step's Premiership. And we need that next level of manager and coach to one, attract players, two, to have better tactical ideas, and three, to have the mouse to kind of evolve.
Luton were the eruptors for it the last season. And I know Luton played probably a bit more football than Harris's teams ever would.
But their recruitment was better than ours.
Well, this is it. 100%. But then recruitment is not just on the shoulder of the manager, is it? And I think
this is my point, though, is it?
So like, I think
this is what we're saying. If you look into the recruitment setup of us, right, and look at the people who are there and everything else, they have been there for an awful long time. And my question is, have they progressed in the same style and speed as what the Championship has progressed? Because, you know, some of the recruitment team thingy, you can, it's out there, you can look at it, LinkedIn and everything else. Some of them have been there 15, 16 years and stuff. And what I'm saying is, everyone's recruitment style, I suppose, especially after what Brentford and others has moved massively. The problem is that we are still pretty much in the Stone Age as such.
We're League One. We've got League One.
Well, I would say we're League Two, really, compared to, you know, there's teams in League One which probably got better training facilities and better facilities than we have. And that's what I'm saying is that, are you going to be able to attract? You see, the thing is with Rowett, as much as Edwards didn't work out and Rowett played boring football, there was something about them where people went, yeah, I'll come to you. Whether that be that they've known them before or whether or not they're excited with them, you could get players. My question to you then is this, right, to you two, before I come into some of these comments, what I've started here, what are good points, what I want to raise. Do you think if Harris was the manager, we would have got Abafeni and Tandanga?
Definitely Abafemi, no, because Abafemi doesn't fit into this style of play. But maybe Harris would have signed someone completely different. Harris probably would have been more assuring for Kiefer Moore from the start of the window, someone like that, for example.
And he might have got him because he's worked with him before. We don't know what the relationship is there,
But I think, listen, I think what my point I'm trying to say is that there's one manager that gets us and one that didn't, and that was Joe Edwards. He flaked it towards the end, Edwards. Edwards, you know, you saw the pressure.
He lost the dressing room, didn't he?
And the pressure, but the pressure got to Edwards as well, you know. Edwards, look at him, you know, he was almost in tears after the Ipswich game, you know. Like, it was, you see that interview and everyone spoke about it. But what Harris guarantees you is, especially at the Den, you know, we're going to get a performance, whether that be backs against the wall or, you know, on the front foot, trying to get it up and at him. He's playing the style of football at the moment. You know, he doesn't have Morrison up front to aim the ball for a minute. He doesn't have Jed Wallace on the right to get him up further the pitch. I think he's doing remarkable the job he's doing in a minute, but if you give him the summer window, I don't see why he won't get recruit players that fit his style of play to have a go. And I think I'm all for trying to be against the grain because everyone tries to play pretty football nowadays. We tried it under Edwards, albeit with not the right players. Everyone's saying we've got to move progressively as a club forward, but why can't we move progressively as a Millwall team where we're fucking difficult to beat, fucking full of little shithouses, and trying to play to our strengths of two wingers, two strikers, and have a go and have midfielders that are going to try and put their, you know, put their effort in.
I mean, two people have got in the comments. Some of your comments, what you put in, like John Parler, comment you wrote earlier on, I will come back to that in a bit, so don't panic. If your comment hasn't come up, it will be coming up, so don't panic. We will show all comments. But the Championship is a total different ball game since Harris left it. 100%, you agree with that, yeah? And I'm going to come back to a point where I don't know what show it was on now, Omar, but it was one when you were fairly regular, which obviously we're going to go back through the vaults to it. But when we had a discussion about, it's all about the style of play, right? It doesn't matter what manager, it's about the style of play. And my biggest fear is that we had Rowett, who made decisions on players, Edwards come in, and couldn't use that style of player we had in to fit into his style of play, and it didn't work. We've now got a mix of Rowett players, Harris players, Edward players trying to be formed into Harris' style of play. And listen, don't get me wrong. We're going to war. There is no one more. There is no one more than I would want Harris in the trenches, right? 100%, because he will fire the team up, he'll get them working properly, all of that, and he will absolutely fucking ruin them if they don't perform. So I've got no issue with that. What I'm saying is, does it really matter what manager we have going in if we've got a style of play what's not been decided and a recruitment team what possibly isn't necessarily playing to that style? They're playing to what? In the last two seasons, we've had three managers. We're on our third manager, and each one of them plays a different style of play.
I just don't get the argument about star player either, about the championship moving on either. We went 21 games unbeaten in the championship with Ben Marshall on the left, and on the right we had Jed Wallace, and a back four, 4-4-2, Morrison and Gregory up front. We went 21 games unbeaten that year when you had Aston Villa in the league, you had Fulham in the league, you had Wolves in the league, you had teams that play football, you had Brentford in the league, we had Derby County that were playing under Rowett at the time playing football. I just don't get the argument that... We know our strengths as a club, Millwall. We know what we succeed at. We know what we've succeeded at for the last 30 years, the last 100 years. Why are we turning away from that? Why don't we just try and embrace that and have...
100%.
So this is my point, though. Like, we tried it under Edwards. Okay, we didn't give it long enough. We would end up in League One, I think, if he was still here now, personally. And that's just my opinion. I get what everyone's saying, move forward. But hold on to your roots and what we're good at. We're never going to spend 20 million in one window and sign a ball playing midfielder, a ball playing defender, someone up front that's going to make movement and be a false nine. We're never going to have that money. Why don't we just stick to what we're good at as a club, get, you know, and to have players in there that have got the character to play in front of Full House then, that want to be there, that want to kick on and be what Millwall is. Like, you saw it last Saturday at the Den. I don't understand why we're so against that. Let's try and embrace what we're about and have a go as that. And that's what Harris is going to get next season if he keeps us up.
You see, what I think is the club's really clever here, right, is in, we had that away game where Harris come in. So you had the buzz, the excitement of Harris coming in. And realistically, you knew that something was going to happen on that first game. Then when we had the home game, it was the community game, right? And there was something there. We went away to Blackburn in the week and we sort of, we got the point. But this game this week is the Jimmy Mizzen day, where obviously we raise as much money. So make sure you got loads of change. We raise as much money as we can for Jimmy Mizzen on the day. And obviously Jimmy Mizzen's family, and they do loads of kids stuff and community and all that again for Jimmy Mizzen. And that's going to get the crowd already on side anyway. The crowd's going to be fucking well up for that game. It's going to be a full house. Everyone's going to be geared up for it. So again, the atmosphere is going to be great. It's Birmingham as well. So everything's going to be heavily, heavily focused. So realistically, if you think about everything there, really, we should win that game. But then going forward from there, we got Leeds afterwards, didn't we? We got Leeds the following week.
No chance of winning that Leeds, by the way.
But that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. We then got Leeds and we go, it seems to be at the moment that we have a game where they know we're going to perform with whatever atmosphere. So the first one was the away. Harris, look, your saviour's back, blah, blah, blah. Bang, go out and win. And then we have the home game, which is a community game. We go out and win. We have nothing. We go away to Blackburn, who's probably one of the worst performing teams in the league and fucking shite. And they, you know, they had, 70% possession over us. Now we've got a home game against Birmingham, which really... with everything going on, I think the atmosphere will be electric. I think we'll probably win. But then we're going to Leeds away where, again, you're already saying now, oh, I don't know if we'll win that.
Yeah, but listen, pick and choose your battles at the moment. It's hard to predict what this team's going to be like in the future. I think, look, just long term, we'll move forward to Saturday's game now and talk about it a bit more, I suppose. But I'll move on to previewing that. But I just think... listen, I don't see... don't turn your nose up on something that's been so good for us the last 20, 30 years. Why are we too good for that all of a sudden? We've not earned the right to be too good for that. And also the changes we want to make, you know, I get the progressive shout. I get trying to... but listen, that's a 5-10-year thing. It's never going to happen overnight. So that's... in this scenario now, we're in the championship. We're not going to reinvent the wheel in this division. If we got relegated and then maybe the club said, let's change a shift to a better style football... you know, meaning we're going to play out from the back and have this and that. And I'm for it, but it can't happen in this division with our budget. It's got to be a case of going again in League One and coming up. I think that's the situation. I get it, but listen, I don't see why we're turning our nose up at something that we've always been that. And I'm not saying hoofball's the answer, but we know what a good Mill side is. And listen, I'll tell you now, if Jed Wallace comes back for us next summer, I can see that, by the way. Just throw that in. Do you see Jed Wallace coming back, anyone? Listen, I don't think he would, and I don't think it'll happen, but that's the kind of players Harris would end up looking for, wouldn't he? But it wouldn't surprise me.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They've got a new owner now, haven't they, West Brom? So that's changed, isn't it?
He's playing there. He's played the last few games, isn't he, as well? I keep watching that, hoping there's a fallout.
I can't see him coming back.
He never will come back. But if they're still in financial constraints, I don't know. I don't follow West Brom's off the field.
If he does come back, he'd be like right at the tail end.
He's not the clock anyway. But yeah,
we'll come back to Speed Demons in a sec because he's raised a couple of points. But there, I mean, look, Joe says there again, we need to play a better style of football, but that doesn't mean it's tippy tappy. There are many ways and styles, not just sit back and counter. Yeah. Or tappy-tappy.
Too right. I agree with him.
I have a feeling we'll get a result against Leeds under Harris.
Well, we need that following to go up there. Everyone pay £45 a ticket. I'll see you up there.
I'll see you up there as well. Heard Omar is a secret vermin term.
Give over. Fuck off. Dan's on a wind-up.
Yeah, he's always on a wind. He's probably about fucking 4 cans deep on his special brew.
Oh, strong by dark through. I'll see you, Dan. Don't worry.
Oh, Dan, you've been outed. Oh, dear.
Mate. Anyone that drinks dark through, you're not worthy to conversation with me at the minute. Dan.
Yeah, that's
fucked. I don't know. Maybe I've gone a little tirade there, but I don't see where the snobberies come from a club like us to what we're deep rooted about. That's just me.
Omar, I think if the budget permits, the way forward is to evolve and change our football and play, you know, expansive football, possession football, what you want to call it. But I think the bottom line is we haven't got the budget to sign the best players. Our recruitment is shit, so we can't even buy players and then sell them on for a return on our investment, like the likes of, you know, Brentford have done and Peterborough have done and whatever. So the trouble is, unless we change our backroom staff, so Mickey mentioned it earlier about our scouts stuff. Like, I'm sure one of our scouts was like a postman 3 years ago. Like, honestly, it's that fucking shocking. It's that bad.
That will come to that.
So unless all that changes behind the scenes, our scouting and, you know, director of football, that has to change in order to get our recruitment right to then play at football. But until that happens, then as much as I don't want to agree with you, Omar, I do agree with you that we have to play to our strengths. And that means buying low-budget players that are effective in a 4-4-2 direct football.
Yeah, that's and... why I was laughing at that.
Sorry, and, for those of you listening to the podcast, Dan Riggs has just posted a comment what basically says... Well, I said, oh, you've been outed. He said, I've been outed as much as Omar's hairline.
It's still intact. It's still intact. Don't worry. And being from Turkey, worst case scenario, I'll go and get it sorted in a few years' time. So it's all right. I'll go and speak to my uncle and get it sorted.
Also, let us know in the comments as well if you like the new polls. And it would have been tonight, but Sunday night, WhatsApp will be back. We'll be on. And also, we'll probably have it running after tomorrow's game where you'll be able to leave voice messages or video clips, and then we will play them out on the show on Sunday.
I agree with Steve Demon's comment there as well. Speed Demon say nothing.
No dick pics. Why the fuck?
You got to clip that.
You said fucking dick pics. I didn't. Right?
And you agreed with me.
Whenever we have a conversation. Yeah, only because you went, yeah, dick pics. And I went, no dick pics. You know what I mean? Because you said it. There'd be someone in the comments or someone watching back at this who will go, oh, I'll do that.
Back to Speed Demon's comment anyway, quickly. Well, sorry, Mickey, 1 second. Just go back to that one there.
I'm going to start calling Joe Nani.
Utter nonsense. You cannot consider. Listen, he's right on the possession front to an extent, but it's about what you do with the ball as well. And like, I just don't want to see Jake Cooper receive the ball on the turn and try to take the ball upfield when Jake Cooper is a defender. Jake Cooper's not a ball-playing defender. Jake Cooper doesn't... He's not that player to kind of hold the ball and play possession, because we play sideways, back to Sarkic, who then boots it up the field. What's the point of that? Like,
to add to that point, again, I hate agreeing with Omar because I want to try and cause a bit of a debate here. It's quite fun to do that. But Leicester won the Premier League, and that season, on the average, they had less than 50% possession.
And we beat them in the FA Cup.
And they won the Premier League.
It's not all about possession. It's just what you do with it. And listen, long term, it's not sustainable to have 60% pass success rate. We've got to do better with the ball. But then Harris was the first to say that after Tuesday. I was there Tuesday. It was fucking shit. It was so bad. Thank God I looked worse where pre-game and had a few beers, because it made it a bit more enjoyable. Just
thinking,
that's what I mean. But like, that's it. Like, that's the way Millwall is done. I still go, and I have been always, and I never will stop going, because that. But I want better, of course I do. Like, but I don't want us to then like lose what we're about as a club. And that's my point. I want us to keep what we've got, but with the modern day take of football. And there is a way for that. But it's got, don't, like, under Edwards, we lost that bite to us. We lost that steel with defensive, you know, kind of.
Lost
being...
the dressing room, didn't
he? Yeah, really? Well, you can only come out after so many games and criticise players every week. And then, look, that's what happened ultimately for Edwards. I wanted it to work for him, and I thought he was the answer as well. Just at the wrong time, probably, and that's the reality of it.
Let's go through to some of these star comments, because we are looking to tie up because of the boxing tonight, hence why we're on early. So, yeah, Andrew Roberts says, would fans take a Joe Edwards-like manager working under or alongside Harris next season to get the ethos of Millwall, what it's all about, for him to then take over and Harris to move upstairs? We have another one from Sliding in Crap, whatever. Senegal.
Over Senegal Fields.
Sliding in
Crap over Senegal Fields.
Over Slope Fields. Oh, there we go. Yeah, right. their thing is, I see a scenario of we survive and Harris gets his remaining 12 months paid up and offered the director of football role. Win-win with us safe, and his reputation is on a high.
I reckon he's over 45 years of age.
Aren't we looking at Now Smith, the Hearts manager? I don't know if we are.
Nae Smith. There's a rumour going around, Mickey, that Mill will try and line him up for next season.
I saw that.
I don't know whether there's any truth on that.
It comes from Football League.
Are they legit?
They're one of the first ones to get criticised.
Oh, really?
They're the ones who some of our best Millwall Twitter accounts with their rumours, I think, come from there. But yeah, there's another one there. Luton didn't have a huge budget, did they? It's not impossible to recruit better.
Recruitment's definitely going to be better. But they're trying to get that kind of structure in, ain't they?
The difference with Luton is the budget was low, but they bought the right kind of players. They brought agile players, fast players. They had a couple of loan players that had speeds. They had all the players that Joe Edwards probably wanted this season. And that's why they were able to play a little bit more.
Fred Onyedimo as well, then.
Yeah, again, it's an agile player.
Yeah, but once he got to the Premier, he never got a game, and he's got down the league. So, yeah. Lawrence Whitehead says, agree, the whole club needs a restructure.
Yeah,
right. Speed Demon, this is the ones who I highlighted earlier, and I want to get him in. The football was crap under Harry from Neil before, and it's crap now. For now, it's okay, as he might be what we need to stay up. But it has no future, and it's not sustainable playing that way. Then he comes in and says, what has worked for us in the past will not work for us in the future. We have had no 6-foot-plus striker, so that's just nonsense. I'm sorry.
But that's my point. It's what somehow he's still getting results, and it's not sustainable. I agree. Do you know what? If we go 1-0 down and everyone's like, what we can do next, I don't think we'll retaliate. I don't see where, if you're coached into playing this way for the last few weeks, I reckon if we go 1-0 down, the players won't know what's hit them and think, what are we meant to do now? We're meant to go forward and attack, because they're so used to sitting back and defending. It's a tough watch, and I'm the first to acknowledge that, but that's, I'm not judging Harris on this. I'm judging Harris on results. That's all I'm. And
but
so
I
far,
said, I would take out of it. I would take this football for the next 10 games to assure safety. What I won't accept is this football at the start of next season if we stay up.
Agreed.
That's the difference. But you can't make a decision. You can't make an observation now on what Harris is going to do next season, because we're not at next season yet. And I really do think come next season if we stay up, we're going to see him giving. giving it a go and play a bit more attacking football.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's needs must, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it no coincidence that Cooper has looked much better since we started playing a back four?
Because the goal kicks are going over his head. The ball's not going through his feet. I reckon if you look at every time he's touched the ball, it's about less than half the amount he was under Edwards. Do you know what I mean? It's no coincidence. Jake Cooper's not a ball-playing defender. Never has been, never will be.
Our French correspondent, Le Lion Blanc, he says it ain't just about managers attracting players. Do they also want to play in front of badass supporters?
You've got to be a character, haven't you?
My chat's busted. Anyone else? Well, it don't look as if it's busted because we've seen your message there, fella. Andy Roberts says if we get Naismith as manager, he'd just fill the squad with Nesbitt-like jocks.
Well, it worked well the last time we went to the Scottish Premier League to get manager, didn't it? About 10 years ago. Steve Lomas.
And thank you very much for Kai with his fuck off Lomas. Do you know what I mean? He had that sign at the first game, didn't we? When he was about 14 years old or 13 years old. Do you know what I mean? Remember when he told us that? I think he was younger than that. He told us that. And we went, all right. And he showed the video clip to us. And then we went, all right. How old were you there? And he went, I was about 11 or something, wasn't it? And it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, shit.
And now he's working for the club.
And I don't think, is he 21 yet? He ain't, is he?
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. The sign wasn't actually his, though, was it? I don't think.
No, the one in the, he had the little one, not the one on the gate. He had a little one in the stand. Yeah. He's got the video. We've got the video. So, not many of you voted. Not many of you liked. There's more people voted on this than they've pressed like tonight. That says a lot. Maybe Omar staying away does work. I don't know. But
I've criticised North votes. Today and backed Harris. Yeah, what can I say? It's going to go one way.
So Saturday's game, Birmingham to win is 8%. Millwall to win is 78%. And a draw is 14%.
Yeah.
So...
Leeds are doing us a favour, by the way. Sheffield Wednesday losing 1-0.
Oh, that's good.
And that's a nice derby. But yeah, I mean, you know, Leeds is going to be interesting. I've got a bit of a challenge to see whether or not I drive faster than Stephen and we can get to Leeds quicker than what he does.
It was a cosy journey. I wasn't criticising it, but he's definitely a miles per gallon driver. And that's fine.
I'll be turning my car journey into a driving lesson for Omar because he fucking scares the shit out of me when he drives. So yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Omar should drive a BMW rather than a Volkswagen because he doesn't know where his fucking indicators are. He don't know where the fucking, you know, look in his mirrors. So he fucking
I don't ever cut anyone up.
Doesn't realise you've got to slow down. Don't cut anyone up, my fuck.
I don't cut anyone up, mate. Don't even want to.
So Leeds 1-0 up. What's that WhatsApp number? It will be out over the next day or so. I've got the phone and I've got the SIM card and I just need to load it up. I just need to reset the phone and load it up and then that will be it. There is another one. And I'll tell you what we're looking to do. So hopefully it'll get done later on tonight so that you've got it for tomorrow. And I'll tell you what ideally if you can do would be great. Get your comments, get your scores into the chat. We've got about five minutes left before we go
scores,
off.
And I know it's probably a topic for another day, but there was a mention of season tickets there. I actually quite like the club freezing the prices. I know obviously League One football's potentially looming, so they can't necessarily put the prices up. But yeah, I thought fair play to the club for freezing the prices for next season. It will be just for a month. So,
by the way, I'd like to say that if anyone wants a haircut, then Chris Brown is your hairdresser extraordinaire, mate, and he's got the Range Rover to fucking match.
Hasn't Chris got less hair than you, though?
No, he's still a fucking hairdresser. He drives a Range Rover fucking small roof fucking Vogue.
Oh, the Vogue ones. Over
oh,
there,
the, yeah. hair, the hairdresser car.
Yeah, a bit like what Chris has got.
Oh, yeah. Especially for long hairdressers.
So we're going with the scores. We're going, Alex has gone 2-1 to Millwall. Up the Lions has gone 3-1 to the Lions. Dan Riggs has gone 1-0 Wall. Shitty bum time, Bubba Fenny. Okay. No idea of the score, but just hope we win. Peter Saville Sullivan has gone Mill 1, Brom. Three,
before,
sticking with Busby. Daily Millwall, Spurs removing OAP discount, shameful club. You see,
They're putting up 6% in their prices as well.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying there, but all your old people get fucking everything cheap. Do you know what I mean? Listen, we have to pay fucking twice.
You say that now. Wait till you're a few years older. You'll be straight on it going, what a fucking liberty. They put the prices up.
But, you know, when you're a student, you get student discount. If you're unemployed, you get fucking discount. If you're fucking old, you get discount. All of us in the middle, what are paying most of the tax, you get fuck all. Do you know what I mean? It's like every year you watch the budget and he goes, we've increased the tax threshold for low-earning people down to thingy. You're going, fuck me, I used to be able to earn that much before I paid fucking the upper rate, and now I've got to pay that much before I get it. You're like, it's not a benefit to me, so yeah. Mickey, do you get OAP at all? No, fuck off. Be an ex-fan of the board, but I should get, you know, the other ex-fan of the board gets free fucking exec tickets. I don't get any of them.
He's got a life, I've heard. The old ex-fan.
I use my pronouns, you bastard. Sorry, Chris, the bald-headed cunt.
He, him, her. Hmm.
Connor says 2-0. John Part, I am coming to your comment that you made earlier. Don't think I'm avoiding it. It will be finishing up on that one. Luke Smith, we haven't gone behind under Harris yet. I think we'll continue that trend tomorrow with a 2-1 win. 2-1 to the wall for Mark. The Peckham Poet says 2-1 to the wall. Andy Roberts says 2-1 to the wall. Gazza says Gavin Maguire cuts my hair. Okay. Hairdresser Chris says 2-0 to the wall. Rich, if you're watching, do us a nice key ring saying hairdresser Chris Brown for me, please. Dan Riggs, you're a cunt. 2-0, and I'm going to put my OAP money on it. Disgusting. Yeah, all the old boys are having a pop at me now, aren't they? Yeah. Disgusting, Mickey. You know what? Actually, hang on. Sorry. I've just thought our biggest audience is the OAP area. So I'll take that, but I think it's disgusting.
They are all going for you, mate.
You're wrong, mate.
Listen, it's all about the comments. It's all about the comments. No, I don't necessarily think. I mean, the discount weren't there, but yeah, I'm not going to go back.
I do think that
it will be a thing. What will end up going across all the clubs? Ooh. Because if you look at Millwall, they raised the age, didn't they, from 60 to 61 to 62, I think, or 63 now before you get the OAP discount. So I think it's a club or a league thing across the club, because we are not football fans anymore. We are a commodity, and it's all about how much money they can make out of us every game. And it always.
Do you want my score prediction, Mickey, as well?
All right, Mark.
Should we wrap it up now?
Do you want our score prediction? Go on, give us it. While I'm going through the comments.
I've just seen Garrett's face on the TV. I just thought I'd let everyone know that as well. But I'm going to go 1-0 Millwall tomorrow, and Jake Cooper's going to score that header that I'm back in for the last three games. There you go.
We're 0-0.
Joe?
If we do win, it's one goal, isn't it? So it's either 2-1 or 1-0. Yeah. Just be different. I'm going to say 2-1.
There you go. Jake Cooper scoring tomorrow, guys, is, I think it's 16-1 score header. Just if you want to get on it. I'm on it.
Daily Millwall is 64 next year.
Up to 64 next year.
Next year. It's up to 64 next year. Yeah, I told you. So, yeah, by the time I get one, it will be 87. So, if I was an OAP and had to choose between turning the heating on or watching Spurs, the heating wins every day.
Yeah. You'll have a very hot house, wouldn't you?
Not to worry, Mickey. The ramps for entry will be bigger for you to stumble and rally. I'm happy on Sunday to have a proper discussion with you if you want, because I want to talk about Leeds and I want to talk about the Leicester stuff as well, which obviously we didn't really get to go in tonight, but I want to know some more about it, and I need to find out some more about the Leeds tickets, because they're just thingy. John Parr, I've not heard this rumor, but I know that it was always, even JB was, if the right offer come in and it made sense for the club and everyone, you know, everyone around it, then, you know, it'd be open to any offer. But you know, whether there's a difference between actively putting the club up for sale, which I don't think it is, and the fact that someone come in, you know, let's be honest, if we had a Qatar, you know, royal family or a state back, you know, someone with a lot of money suddenly come in and wanted to offer Millwall, you know, 100, 150 million or something, then, yeah, they would yeah. definitely probably, you know, you wouldn't not think about it, would you? Don't forget JB over his time here, he's put best part of over 100 million in.
I think there's an element also that JB Junior's, he said it himself, he's naive to it and new to the game, right? So I suppose, does he have the same passion that John Berylson had, that to pick up the club and take it on? I mean, he says he's going to do it his dad's honour, so I don't know how, but, you know, that's commendable. And he's, you know, so far he's put money in. Think about how much money he spent this season. You know, in the summer window, we spent a bit of money. We then had to sack Joe Edwards, which I'm sure would have cost quite a few bit, you know, and I've heard the figures, but I don't know if that's true or not, so there's no point saying them. But I think we can all guess 2.5 year deal for a manager to pay him up, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So a lot of money's been spent this year.
He weren't on a bundle. I think I don't think he was on that sort of money. I don't think he was on nowhere near a rarity, but yeah.
I wouldn't expect it to be millions of pounds, don't get me wrong, but it would have cost
about 300 grand a year, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon it would cost him half a million to pay
him. So
yeah.
At least half a million to pay him off. So it's been an expensive season.
I mean, just before we do go, I heard a thing about that actually a lot of the times they don't actually pay the managers off. What they do is they keep paying them until they get another job. And then once they get another job, then they stop paying them. So does that mean that we're paying Rowett while he's on Sky News on every one of our fucking games? Because he'll be on leave.
Watford had multiple clubs, the Pozzo family, and they'd put him on garden leave, then they'd give him a job at one of their other clubs, wouldn't they? That was the joke going around at the time, and to go back to another club. But I imagine Edwards is on like a certain amount of money every year. If he takes another job somewhere else, he'll then lose some of that money, but it's still going to cost you a fair bit to pay him
plus,
off.
Plus Andy Myers as well, don't forget. So he'll be paid off as well. Yeah,
exactly.
So look, thanks very much, Joe in the chat, for listening. We're not seeing, I don't know if you've commented before or not. I've not really seen you about on the chat before. So thanks very much. Any great others name. Of you who are there, please make sure to press there's a subscribe button and obviously the notifications and all of that.
And come for a bit down the blue bus tomorrow. I'll be there at the blue tent from about 1-ish. You can see Dan Riggs have a strong weather through. So
get there fairly early, because by about 2:30, Omar's usually fucking lagging. and he wouldn't know you are.
No chance. But so yeah.
Get there early.
Fucking hell. Where? It's oh there it is.
Shut the fuck up, Joe.
Do you know what I mean? No, I fucking I haven't lost it. But look, that is it for tonight. We will be back on there. What I'm going to say before we end is that the WhatsApp number will go out tomorrow. And ideally, what I'd love to be able to do and going forward is through the game or whatever, just send it a voice note of bits of the game or anything else. Because we're looking, if we can get enough of those come in, then we'll put them together into a little clip and post them out. Because obviously, if it's voice notes only, it'll be quite funny. And again, if you want, send us a video to put to things, then you can, but obviously you'll be able to do that all across WhatsApp. If you want to send dick pictures, I will get you Joe's number because he will appreciate it more than any of us. So Spencer, good evening, fella. Just want to make sure we get all the chats, or that fucking French geezer will moan like fuck at me. That is it. Any final words, Omar?
No, just come on your lines. Hopefully we get the result tomorrow and back them. Be there tomorrow and be accountable, boys. And it's not going to be pretty, but listen, if we get the result we want, that's all that matters. Get to claw our way to safety.
Joe, I would ask you if you've got any final words, but you fucking said enough tonight.
Oh, giddy up and get away. Oh, we're going Millwall and we're going today. Here we go. We're rocking all over the dance.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.